Or I was wondering how you deal with or have dealt with the fear of the renunciation and sacrifice that you have to do to, or you can do on the path of practice, giving things up that are familiar and comfortable, or even that you know are uncomfortable, but there's still that dukkha around it, or after you've given it up, the mind can proliferate on these subjects a lot. Was that, you know, what's your experience been like?
Well, I mean, you know, basically all you're really doing is giving up suffering. So it's if you see it clearly, it's pretty simple. But, you know, even suffering, to give it up, you know, because we identify with it. And so if I'm not doing that, if I don't have those thoughts, if I don't have those feelings, if I don't have that attachment, who am I? So it's a very important reflection, because on a very kind of straight level, the only thing we actually give up is suffering, so it's something to delight in. But that isn't how, I can't remember the writer who wrote it. But she was something she wrote. It was sort of, all that I ever gave up had claw marks on it. the fear of giving up anything. But it's just being able to look at that and sort of say, okay, if I were really able to give this up, at the heart would be so at ease. So it's just encouraging oneself, not trying to bash oneself into relinquishing anything, but it's sort of recognizing that, recognizing the dukkha.
I was just going to say that it reminded me of a story from Nana Chat. You said when one of the Anagarkas was sweeping, and the lay guest said, you know, oh my gosh, there's so many leaves here. Like, how am I gonna just deal with all this? I mean, do we really have to sweep all these leaves? And the Anagarka just said, no, just the ones in front of you. So, I mean,
in front of your broom,
yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's also like, it is daunting if you actually think of all the things that are required to give up when you think about arahantship. But just kind of thinking about what's in front of your broom is a bit easier. You know, it's like you see something you want to eat, and you just say, can I give that up today? You know, that thing, because I'm watching this desire build up, and or a smaller amount, or, you know, whatever. Or you want to say something to somebody, and you see that you really feel you have to say it. Because, you know, if you don't say it, you're going to really regret not saying it. And then you somehow bring that up enough energy and kind of wisdom and sense, like, okay, I didn't say it. And then you reflect later, as Ajahn Kantika was talking about, like, what was the result of that? Because I really believed I had to say it. And then you don't. And there's a joy that arises out of that. So it's, as Lumpur is saying, is the giving up of suffering actually does, when we recognize it, bring up joy. And that's something we don't always recognize, because we sometimes just hold on to them and say, no, I'm not going to give this one up. And I think that's, a lot of the metaphor, maybe was it Lumpur Cha? Pastor said, like, 80% of the time, you know, you know you should give it up, but only 20% of the time you can. It's that sense that, like, even when we know things are not helpful for us, most of the time we just, well, I'm not going to let go of that one. And so just being forgiving, you know, kind of ourselves and that aspect, and open to, like, it being difficult. You know, it's simple. You just give something up, but then simple doesn't mean it's not difficult. So that's just our aspect. And another thing to point out is it's correct. Like if it's difficult and painful, because it's our desire, it's like the Buddha is saying, this is what's causing our suffering. And so, you know, there can be something in the monastery every day. It's like, why can't I get this? Or why can't I do it that way? Why do they do it this way? Why did Ajahn Chah say I can't do that? What a jerk. And it's like, well, maybe, but also maybe if you're suffering, who's responsible for that suffering? Each of us is responsible for that suffering. So it doesn't mean the other person doesn't have karma if they're involved, but we're all responsible for that. So then when we actually step into that responsibility and we give something up, we say, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to let my mind go into that, you know, agitation and regurgitation of this. Then all of a sudden it weighs itself. It kind of feels lighter and happier. And then we see like, oh, that's that reflection again. Oh, this is what happened. This is a result of this wholesome giving up. So that's just, I think, something to reflect upon because it's hard. It's really hard to give up attachments. But it's also important that we keep reflecting when we do, because if we don't do the reflection to see even that it's hard, then we kind of miss out a bit. So it's that kind of right thinking, I think.
But the other thing that just came to mind as you were talking, an Ajahn Sumedho story, and I'm pretty sure this one did come from him, was... an experience he had early on on alms round, when there was a young child held by his mother who was trying to decide whether to put his piece of candy or whatever it was into Ajahn Sumedho's bowl, and he would reach and then he'd pull it back and he wasn't ready to give it up, you know, this piece of candy, and then Ajahn Sumedho would stand there and then the young kid would kind of start to go over there, and the mother would encourage, and he'd pull it back. You know, he did this a few times, and finally he reached to the alms bowl and dropped it in. And as soon as he dropped it in, he apparently squealed this squeal of joy, you know, absolute joy at being able to give something that he really wanted himself. And to me, that's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like, it's hard to do. You know, you don't really want to let go of it, but when you do, what bliss.